Hey, hi everybody. This is Certified Life and Executive Business Coach, Dr. Nelson Beltajar, coming to you live from Toronto, Canada. And for those of you listening, I'm asking you to please buckle your seatbelts and get ready, because Aubrey is about to take you on the road to rediscovery with another great episode. Grab your favorite beverage, sit in your favorite room, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Our lives are laid out on a road of bumps, turns, struggles, and more. How do we respond? How do we endure adversity for learning and growth? I'm Aubrey Johnson, and we'll explore these questions and more on The Road to Rediscovery. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Road to Rediscovery. I'm your host, Aubrey Johnson. The Road to Rediscovery is about reflecting on life lessons to learn and grow from them, and of course, pay it forward and uplift others who are struggling through dark times. I want to share some good news. The good news is that the Road to Rediscovery Stand store is now officially open. That's right, inspired by this podcast and the insights from our many amazing guests, we have all sorts of resources for targeting your personal growth, from free e-guides to e-books, and also the full-blown Rediscovery Roadmap digital course. Get on the road to overcoming adversities and realizing your true potential by visiting us at stan.store/road to rediscovery. That's stan.store/road2rediscovery. And as always, we are truly, truly grateful for your listenership. All right. Now, my special guest, she's very passionate about empowering others to embrace a holistic approach to wellness. She is an inspiring advocate for both external beauty and internal transformation. Her book, From Bullshit to Botox, A Rebel's Guide to Self-Love and Eternal Youth, offers an honest, no BS approach to beauty and self-love that is refreshing and resonating. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Sandra Silverman to the show. Sandra, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Aubrey. It's so great to be here.
Thank you. We reciprocate for sure. All right. So we have quite a bit to unpack here, Sandra. Can you walk us down part of your journey that sparked your passion for holistic health, beauty, and beauty inside and out?
Yes, my journey started in my late 20s, where I had my first procedure. And throughout the years, I was that person that basically was doing all these procedures for all the wrong reasons and didn't feel good about myself. Heard some negative comments from my husband at the time that kind of prompted this journey in sort of a negative way. But then over the years, I realized that if I'm going to do these procedures and work on myself externally, I need to figure out how to work on myself internally and really love myself. So then it kind of switched where I stopped doing the procedures for those reasons and more for myself. And then I started life coaching and turned to a more holistic approach, which is the second part of my book, and really started to love myself and feel much more balanced as a person. And I wanted to empower other women in terms of if they wanted to do a procedure or, you know, reverse age or do anything to help themselves, I wanted them to have a guide where everything is in there. Everything is honest. I have experts explaining different procedures. We talk about, you know, different surgeries, different beauty treatments, but also give them a guide where they can feel empowered, where they don't have to do these things, or if they want to do these things, they do them for themselves and not because the outside world tells them to, or they feel inferior, or they don't feel good about themselves. Or if they want to do something, that they feel okay to do it, where this other person write this book about a million things that they've done and sharing them with the world and not embarrassed by that.
Yeah. I tell you, Sandra, it takes an incredible amount of strength and transparency to really open yourself up you know, to what you've gone through, what you've endured, how you felt about yourself, all in the name of helping other people who may be in the same boat, who may be where you were, you know, years ago. They may be there now. Mm-hmm. And I must commend you on, you know, the willingness to make yourself vulnerable in telling your story in the name of helping other people and empowering other people in, you know, basically telling themselves, hey, if she can do it, I'm sure, you know, I can do it. I can give it a shot. Right. One of the things or two of the things that are incredibly, incredibly powerful. And I don't mean powerful in a good way, is, you know, there's a lot of societal expectations mm-hmm. and a lot of societal quote unquote norms that, you know, really, really put pressure on men and women alike when it comes to how to behave or how to the expected behaviors or the expected ways to look from an appearance standpoint, you know? And so what I like about what you just said is empowering people to do it for the right reasons, for their own self-fulfillment, okay? How they want to look, how they want to feel. It's for their own reasons. It's not because of any societal pressures. I would imagine, though, you may have encountered some clients or some people that you've worked with that have been, you know, that have been basically held captive mm-hmm. by that type of intangible pressure. Can you give us an example, not an example, but give us, you know, tell us about how you would work with someone, I guess, in healing from the inside so they can have the empowerment to release that, that captive feeling of societal expectations.
It's difficult for a lot of women, especially as they age. So yeah. Women my age in their 50s, if they haven't, let's say, kept up with themselves throughout the years,
yeah,
they'll wake up one day and look in the mirror and they're basically horrified of what they see because they don't see that person that they saw in their 20s and 30s because it takes a lot of work right. to kind of reverse age and try to keep up with everything with their it's right. the way that your body looks and the way your face looks. And there's so much that goes into it, you know, with the way you dress or keeping up with trends, so many different things. And a lot of women, either they were lost with their careers or raising kids or in a bad relationship, whatever it is, they wake up one day and then they look and they don't even recognize themselves. Mm-hmm. So part of the reason I wrote the book was to give them a guide where it doesn't matter where they start or when they start, they can start at any age and, right. you know, try to improve themselves on some level, you know, internally, externally. I talk about, you know, life coaching. So if you really need more, you know, help in that way, you can get a life coach. You can, you know, start with some sort of therapy, but also figuring out a way to balance yourself so you can actually wake up and have the energy and feel good. So we talk about, you know, your hormones and how to balance and maybe see a holistic doctor to help with those things or even do lymphatic work. Like there's so many things that women can do. And even if they don't really know where to start, mm-hmm. the book is a good guide because it explains everything. Even if you're that person that doesn't really want a facelift, there are other enhancements that you could do just to make yourself feel a little bit better. And I feel like women, if they are more balanced, because it's hard, because if you have a career and you have kids, you lose yourself. And
yes, you
it's
do.
Hard to have it all. And right. you just have to figure out a way to, you know, balance everything, which is really difficult. So I thought by writing the book, it would be helpful for somebody to have a guide of where to start type of thing.
That makes sense. Yeah. And that could serve, that book could serve as a huge reference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For empowering women to certain practices that help support the exterior beauty, as well as practices further in the book on, you know, internal transformation and internal healing. And I would imagine things such as overcoming trauma and dealing with trauma, right? No, that's absolutely fascinating. So where does the blend happen? Like in your work, how do you blend the external best practices that addresses external appearance and the internal? Are there certain methods that address both, or do you have like a balance of those that address external and those that address the internal, and you kind of blend them? You can just give us an example of how you blend those.
I think it starts, I mean, you really have to learn how to love yourself. And that took me years to do, because for years I was just focused on the external and wasn't interested on the internal. And then I realized I need to make some serious changes. And for me, it started with I worked with multiple life coaches that I talk about in the book. Mm-hmm. And the first life coach that I worked with really helped me eliminate toxic people in my life.
Right.
So that was the first thing that I did, because when you have toxic people in your life, I don't know how you can ever feel balanced, because it's such a, you know, it just drains you. So I started with that, with working with the life coach, I eliminated some friendships for 30 some years. Mm. And that really helped. And also, like, my energy level wasn't great, and that could have been part of that. My cortisol levels were high. I had a lot of stress. I would have like chronic back pains, which I didn't understand where they came from. And then once I started eliminating the toxic people, and then I started focusing more on like a holistic approach, I got a naturopath doctor that I talk about in the book, Dr. Nadia, and really balancing with the right vitamins. I'm a vegetarian, so I wasn't getting the proper nutrition, but now I inject vitamins that help so much. And really focusing on my workouts, which help, you know, calm me, that walking, the weightlifting, weight training, that helps a lot. And lymphatic work. So I was holding a lot of water. Mm-hmm. So the lymphatic work helped a lot. And I think just adding all of these things and being consistent was such a game changer for me. So I started feeling better about myself. I started loving myself more. I started taking better care of myself, which absolutely had nothing to do with the external surgeries that I had had previously. Right. And those surgeries really didn't make me happy. You know, I went from one to the next to the next. And I wasn't really fulfilled as I was once I started working on myself internally and started loving myself.
Gotcha. One part of that you mentioned, which is I think rings true, Sandra, is, you know, when you have some work done externally, and afterwards, you know, you may not have or feel completely fulfilled, you know, and then you have that moment of realization where, hey, there's really some things inside I need to work on with myself. With that said, I wanted to ask you, is it fair to say that doing certain things and methods to address your exterior beauty can support some internal healing methods and vice versa? Can the exterior practices support the interior and vice versa? I hope my question makes sense.
I think so, in terms of, you know, I've done a lot of external surgeries and procedures that some were necessary, some weren't necessary. And I mean, I definitely felt better for doing those things. I mean, I got a facelift at 47. I, to this day, like, I don't regret that. I'm, you know, because I know, like, if I feel good on the outside.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, well, then I'm definitely going to feel good on the inside, which I didn't exactly feel great on the inside because I had other issues to work through.
Yeah.
But I feel like working on the inside and I'd already worked so much on the outside, combining the two together, I feel amazing. So I don't think that I would have felt as good on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Or let me rephrase that. Just by doing the surgeries and the outside and not working on the inside, I wouldn't have felt like a complete person.
Right. I got you. And let's say we happen to go in reverse in the opposite order. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I understand this is a case by case basis, depending on the current situation that the individual would be at. Right. Mm-hmm. But someone who may say address the internal issues mm-hmm. first, you know, if they address those and heal over that trauma, heal over that depression, heal over that anxiety or maybe imposter syndrome or feelings of inadequacy and so forth. And they get over that hump internally within their mind, their soul, their spirit. I would believe that that would also support and put them in a frame of mind to where now they're ready to work on a facelift or some mm-hmm. Botox or maybe a different hairstyle, you know, and that mindset, that change of mindset, you know, and getting rid of the toxic stuff internally may empower them to, you know, to get a haircut or mm-hmm. to change their style or facelift or something. Could that happen in reverse order as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Because they feel so much better about themselves internally that they're ready and they think, okay, well, I feel so great. Let me try to look a little better, a little younger.
Yeah.
Or it could happen where they feel so great internally that they don't feel the need.
Oh, true.
To address external.
Very true. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. Very true. That's incredibly valid. So I have to ask Sandra, tell us about the no BS part. Okay. Now I'm going to give you my first impression when I read this. When I heard or thought about the no BS part, my impression was that that it may involve, and I could be totally wrong. In fact, mm-hmm. I think I am, but it mm-hmm. could in my mind, I thought it involved some sort of hard truth that you as a coach, you know, would help us come to realization about ourselves, okay, where you remove any delusion, okay, that we have to realize about ourselves, a shot of reality, and that is part of your empowerment process. That's part of your transformation part process. What is that no BS part in what you teach?
Well, I wanted the book to be as honest, mm-hmm. and it is completely honest mm-hmm. about everything. So there are parts in the book where, for example, and I don't particularly like gray hair for women. So I talk about that in the book where, you know, I'm being honest. So,
yeah.
And some women look great with gray hair. I personally wouldn't have gray hair and I don't like it.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it doesn't look good on other people.
Right.
So I just wanted the book to be as honest as I possibly could be about all scenarios. So
yes.
When somebody reads the book, they like, I'm not BSing at all. Like, this is exactly how I feel. This is exactly, you know, what this procedure was like, or this was exactly what happened in my life. Everything is 100% honest in there. And some women may read it and not like, you know, every single part, but it is at least honest. And I'm explaining this procedure. This is exactly what to expect. This is exactly what you would need to ask the doctor about, because a lot of surgeons aren't completely honest with their patients in terms of, and the biggest thing that I've noticed is with scarring, for example.
Right.
I don't think they're completely honest when they, like for a breast lift, for example, mm-hmm. or will tell you exactly like where the scars are going to be, how they're going to look. Like, these are things that people really would need to ask. And we talk about all of that in the book. And I'm just using that as one example. Mm-hmm. Everything is in there in an honest, you know, approach.
I want to thank you for that clarification. Because again, it's just a testament to your true complete transparency in, you know, just opening yourself up to who you are, what you've gone through in your story, you know, for empowering others. So, yeah, Sandra, I appreciate the clarification in what no BS means. and you've come to the realization that, you know, not everyone who reads your book will agree with how you feel about things, but that doesn't mean they can't find anything helpful. They'll be able to find some helpful anecdotes that may help them internally or externally on their journey.
There are a lot of parts to the book where in the beginning, the book went through beta reading, like 20 different readers from all over.
Yeah.
And then they come back with their suggestions. And I loved reading their suggestions because even most of the women that read the book, they weren't really interested in the surgeries, the procedures. But what they really loved was the more holistic approach. And they loved reading about Nadia, my holistic doctor. They loved reading about the lymphatic work. They also had suggestions for women who may not want to go to a spa for a facial, like what are some other things that they could do. So I went back and I added the Jesner peel, which is like a $14 peel that women can do, and they can get it from Amazon if you don't want to pay for like a $300 facial. So I went back and added these things, which people really appreciated because not everybody wants to even do a surgery, or they don't want to spend, you know, the money. So there's something in the book for everybody.
Wow.
Where they may just want to do everything natural. They may like reading about all the lymphatic work and the nutritional part of the book and taking like certain supplements and how to even go about, you know, getting that blood panel done to even see what kind of supplement, where you're deficient. Cause some people don't even think about those things. Cause when you go to your regular doctor, it's just a regular blood panel. It's not going deep into like micronutrients and, you know, things like that. So there's basically something in there for everyone. It's just not just, you know, people that are just interested in, you know, plastic surgery and
right
procedures like that.
Wow. In addition to the transparency, I just have to say, flexibility, right? Variety. I mean, your scope is broad when it comes to different ways and methods that one can use to help themselves feel better or look better inside and out. It doesn't have to be going under the knife. And that's another thing I appreciate is the different options that you offer, right? On inside and out. So, and this is one thing about coaching that I'm not really, really aware of, and maybe you can help me with this. Life coaching, in addition to addressing, you know, any external pieces that you'd like to enhance or you know, improve about your body, your face, that can all be helpful. Okay. But is there a life coach that helps you holistically inside and out? Is I know your book touches on the holistic approach, but is when it comes to working with people, is that something that you offer as well? Is there a distinct trait or attribute that a life coach would have or need to have for helping people on both sides, inside and out, versus just one side?
I think for people that are looking for a life coach and if they want help, it would have to be a very unique, I think, type of sort of life coach that would be able to help.
I see.
And they would have to have the knowledge to help. A lot of life coaches can help you like internally, but in terms of being able to walk somebody step by step through what kind of beauty procedure, that would be more of like a beauty consultant, I think.
I see.
Type of person. I don't know if many life coaches would understand both. I'm available anytime for anybody. I don't charge people, so they can DM me, they can call me. anytime I can set up calls with them. And I have been doing that actually a lot with people, you know, reaching out on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just to give them like ideas, or if they, one person just set up a call with me, she wanted to know like what she could do in terms of injections because she doesn't want a facelift. Mm-hmm. But I'm available anytime to help anybody, and I don't charge people if they DM me or contact me on my website.
Oh, that's good to know.
For information.
Yeah, no, that's good to know. And we'll definitely have information in the episode show notes for, you know, for people to get to connecting or reaching out or shooting a DM to you on Instagram and those sorts of things. I can only imagine when someone goes through a transformation internally, or they overcome some trauma, you know, that they've had, or even release toxic relationships. In addition to that, maybe, I don't know, lose 30 pounds, get a different hairstyle, maybe some Botox. I mean, and all of that combined, you know, just the ripple effect of the different facets of your life that can be positively impacted, you know, it could enhance your performance at work.
Absolutely. Because
now you have a different, you have a refreshed mindset, right? It could positively impact the relationships you have with your family or significant other. Are those some, I mean, the possibilities sound endless.
Once I got to the point where I was felt completely balanced, I'm a way happier person. I'm more pleasant to be around.
Yeah.
I'm a better mother. Uh-huh. I'm better as a friend, as a daughter. I'm just better.
That's awesome.
100% completely, because I'm happy. But it took a long time to get there. And like I said, just by doing these external procedures, you're never going to get there. Like, you really have to love yourself. And
Yeah, you certainly do. And Sandra, not to put you on the spot, I'm not gonna put you on the spot, but I must ask, and I guess I'm a little selfish in asking this question, okay?
Okay.
I'm not a morning person, okay? I'm a night owl when it comes to doing work, catching up on work that I miss during the day hours, waking hours, I guess you can say. And I'm not a morning person. And so in some mornings, you know, even though I'm generally an optimistic person, I'm a cheerful person, but I don't feel the greatest when I wake up in the morning, because I just wish I could stay in bed, you know? And I know a lot of this, the old adage goes, you know, what you do the night before impacts the day, the next day. And I understand that. Right. But I'm just wondering, what kind of mindset shift could someone who has a problem with going to bed early or not really being a morning person, what kind of mindset shift could they have to be empowered to do what's necessary to have a better attitude when they wake up? Because I imagine if I had a better attitude in my head in getting up in the morning, the possibilities are endless. I can sit outside our back porch with my wife. We can watch the sunrise, you know, have a cup of coffee. I can start my yard work earlier, you know, and be done like around, I don't know, 12 or 1 instead of 4 or 5 on the weekends, you know. Just where can I start from a mindset perspective in giving this a 180?
I guess we would start with how many hours of sleep are you getting?
Okay, yeah. I would say between on the low end, 4.5, on the deep end, 7.
Okay. So 8 hours of sleep is beneficial to everyone. And I know that's hard. So I guess it would depend on what you're doing before you go to bed and why you can't sleep. Mm-hmm. Are you drinking like caffeine? at night? Are you?
Yeah. Out of a 5-day work week, I may drink caffeine 2 nights.
At night?
Yeah, 2 evenings, but I fall asleep just like that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah. So, but the nights that you're getting 4.5 hours, it's not enough sleep. I mean, I would be the angriest. If I didn't get 8 hours of sleep, I would wake up every day angry.
Well, maybe that's why I'm not in the best of moods. And yeah, it's not that I can't fall asleep. It's that I go to bed late.
Oh, so you don't have a problem falling asleep. You just.
No.
So no. That's you have to retrain basically yourself for going to bed early, which is hard if you're used to going to bed late.
Yes.
So you have to figure out a way to retrain, like calm your mind and try to go to sleep. But if you're working late.
Yeah. Have a wind down routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I may need to, quite honestly, and I've thought about this for a while, I may need to take inventory, right, of the work that I do at night. Mm-hmm. In taking inventory, just like cleaning out a old tool shed or garage, right? What do I keep? What do I throw away? What do I kind of alter or change, you know? And then I guess from there, you know, I would have maybe a reduced set of night tasks that I can do sometime in the waking hours so that I can get to bed earlier.
Yeah, you just shift it. So instead of doing those things late at night, do them earlier.
Gotcha.
And then maybe try that on the weekends and start, because you have to retrain yourself to go to bed earlier.
Yes. Well, that's a tremendous help. And it just reaffirms what I've thought the whole time, which, you know, I mean, I know there's no silver bullet or anything, but I can also see how this can impact the exterior, right? I mean, if I start doing this and make it a habit and it's a change in mindset, quite honestly, I can lose maybe 20, 25 pounds
because
I'm going to bed earlier, right?
Well, going to bed earlier because your body is able to recover while you're sleeping. And then also maybe doing some intermittent fasting.
Yes. And the intermittent fasting would help tremendously as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be asleep those hours, the lion's share of the hours, right? To where, you know, I'm not worried about eating. I'm not thinking about eating because I'm sleeping. So
are you eating before you go to bed? Are you eating late?
I've tried to, and I still do this. 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. is my cutoff time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But quite honestly, over the past maybe 3 or 4 days, I've had where just, you know, when you spend more time doing one thing, it kind of pushes all the rest of the things you have to do for that day back. And so, you know, I'm about 2 times in the past week, I've found myself eating dinner late. Mm-hmm. So I try to make it less, but I don't snack in like I used to, you know, where I have a bag of chips at 10:30 at night or anything. So no, I stopped that a long time ago. And so, you know, I can just see how changing this mindset and retraining as you suggest, over time can lead some weight loss.
And also counting your calories. So
yes,
decide on how much you want to weigh. So if that's, let's say 170, mm-hmm. then try to eat 1700 calories per day while you're losing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Great advice. Great easy. Advice. Yeah. And just make it a habit, right?
Right.
It's yeah. Easy. And I'm a person of routine. So, mm-hmm. you know, being a person of routine and just sticking with it, I just have to define what that routine is. So
that's amazing. If you're a person of routine, that's amazing, because then you can eat pretty much the same thing every day while you're doing this.
Yes.
Change your sleep pattern and change kind of your work schedule, do the things in the morning that you would do at night.
Exactly. So it shouldn't be that far of a reach. I wouldn't think
20 pounds is easy. If you're consistent.
Yes.
Counting the calories. And the great part of counting calories is mm-hmm. you can still have your chips. You just count those calories. And when you're at your 1700 for the day or whatever that is, you stop.
You stop.
And you're not depriving yourself of a cookie or a piece of candy. That's why that technique works the best out of all diets, because a lot of them aren't sustainable, the keto diet, or you know, you go for these diets and then people start eating carbs again. And it's not sustainable. So just counting your calories, pretty much eat what you want as long as you're within your calorie amount.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, very helpful advice, Sandra. And you've given me something to think about. So I want to thank you. And listeners out there, look, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to monopolize Sandra's valuable time to ask a selfish question.
No, this was great.
I'm sure a lot of you out there, listeners, have the same situation that I'm in. And what Sandra recommended is going to help me. I'm going to really think about it. And I hope it helps you as well, dear listeners. This has been an absolutely lovely conversation, Sandra. I've been truly enjoying hearing some amazing insights that you have you've shared and bestowed upon us. I would love if you can share some non-surgical age-defying or age-improving or youth-capturing practices that any of us can do. Do you have like one or two of those?
Yes. One would be lymphatic work. Lymphatic work is very important because we all hold water. And for me, like, my face used to be so puffy until I started doing that lymphatic drainage. And it's easy to do. You can get a device. I used to use a pizza roller, like just roll my body, and it just helped get everything moving. Drinking the right amount of water. If everybody could drink a gallon of water a day, that would be amazing. I know that that's really hard to do, but even like half of that, the water's really important. And working out, but it's just adding that to your schedule. Like, I do weight training every day. It's part of my schedule. I don't ever stop wherever I am. I do the weight training. If I'm on vacation, I still train, and that really helps keep me balanced. Counting your calories, like we just talked about, whatever you want your weight to be, that should be what you're eating or drinking in calories if you're trying to lose weight. Now, if you're working out, you can deduct those calories from what you're burning. I typically don't do that. I don't have that mindset because I'm always going over anyhow. So I don't try to deduct. I just count my calories based on where I want my weight to be.
Gotcha.
And making sure that you're getting the right amount of protein. It's so important for everybody to get the right amount of protein because your body can't build the muscle that it needs if you're not. So for somebody my size, I'm like 100 to 120 grams of protein each day. And these are things that you can do that have nothing to do with, you know, plastic surgery, making sure that you're getting the vitamins that you need, getting a micronutrient test if you can. If you can find a doctor that can do that, because that goes beyond just a regular blood panel where you're just seeing if you're vitamin D deficient. There's so many more supplements that people can take, you know, that are easy to access as well.
Oh, great pieces of advice. I want to thank you so much for sharing those. Yeah, for sure. And speaking of which, in sharing, how can the listeners connect with you, learn more about the great work that you're doing, and may even try to, you know, ask any questions they may have?
They can reach me anytime on my Instagram. It's Sandra Lena Silverman.
Okay.
My website is Sandra Lena Silverman, so they could email or DM me on Instagram. If they don't have Instagram, then they can email. My book is sold on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and the book is From Bullshit to Botox. If they don't want to read the book, they can download the book, or it's on the Kindle, or they can just download and listen to the book as well.
Fantastic. Oh, absolutely. We are going to have your web address your Instagram handle, as well as a direct link to your book on Amazon in the episode show notes, so the listeners can click those links, order your book, learn more about some great insight on internal health, external beauty, and just having a balanced, holistic life. Sandra Silverman, I can't thank you enough for coming on to the show, just sharing and giving us your insights and imparting knowledge. I commend you for the work that you're doing in impacting and changing lives of so many people out there. When you empower them to change their way of living, whether it's with someone toxic or feelings of inadequacy or anxiety, and they realize the true potential that they're capable of, the sky's the limit for them.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope we can stay in touch.
Yes.
Bring you on the show later in the future.
That would be great. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah, you're very welcome. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and listening. And hey, look, you may think this may happen to you at times, but in our daily struggles and adversities, we're never alone. And hope is always around the corner. I humbly ask that you please share this show with someone you know, someone you love, who needs motivation, inspiration, and support. You know, when it all comes down to it, we're just roadies on this journey of life. But it feels good having you right alongside with me. Thanks again for listening. We'll chat again soon.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of The Road to Rediscovery. We'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email at roadsrediscoverypodcast@gmail.com and leave us any questions or comments you may have. The Road to Rediscovery is an AJ Shark production.